The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah!
This is Mixed Shots.
Streaming live on DallasCowboys.com and the official Dallas Cowboys app.
Now, here are Bill Jones, Savannah Hugh Moeller, Everson Walls, and Mickey Spagnola.
And with the 258th pick of the eighth round of the 2024 NFL Draft, the Dallas Cowboys select Ezekiel Elliott, running back, The Ohio State University.
It is the eighth round. That's a good one.
That's the news today. Welcome to McShots inside the SWBC podcast studio. Oh, do we ever have a lot to get to today?
Oh, yeah.
That's all that matters is that's what you just said. That's so funny. That's all that matters to me.
Zeke is back.
That's all that matters to me.
They finally listened to us.
They did.
A year later.
Welcome back.
And the timing of it, I hear people on the radio already saying, well, that's because they didn't get a running back in the draft, and that's why it's the day after the draft, first day of business after the draft, they're signing Zeke. Mm-hmm. Well, as Mickey will quickly point out, this is an important day as far as signing free agents. After 3 o'clock today, the unrestricted free agents don't count against the compensatory picks for next year.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So and that is one of the keys. They could have done this last week.
And they were going to do this regardless of what they did in the draft.
Right, mm-hmm. Because a rookie running back that they pick in, say, the fourth round, if they had a fourth round pick, they would have still signed Zeke.
And so, it's the running back thing almost took precedence of everything else they did.
Hmm.
The thing they didn't do, because they didn't draft a running back. Had they drafted a running back in the fifth, sixth, or seventh round, do you think that guy would have been significantly better than Rico Dowdle? And I think that's what they had to face.
Mm-hmm. There was a run on running backs in the fourth round.
Right.
There were some that went in the third round, but the run came in the fourth round. And so had they had a fourth round pick, they probably would have taken one. But again, it would not have affected this news today that Zeke is back pending a physical.
Well, it's good he stayed in shape. Thank Bill Belichick for that.
There you go.
He was being used as a every down back in New England, and I am glad he stayed in shape.
Well, we got so much to digest here because the Zeke thing is part of actually what you said, the draft.
That's right. And how about we start with this?
Okay.
How about we go to our correspondent who actually was at the
draft?
Yeah!
Savannah Hugh Moeller, we need to hear draft stories from
Superstar.
Detroit.
There's not Superstar. Another show on DallasCowboys.com
that has
a representative
right.
at the draft.
I have all the intel. Right. I have all the right. insight, you guys.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Detroit, let me just paint the picture here. Over 700,000 people over the course of 3 days.
Crazy.
It was crazy. So unbelievable. And then just the atmosphere in Detroit, the amount of people that showed up there to see this in person, it was unbelievable. Great city, great hospitality, the event staff from security to everybody, fantastic.
Great time for for Detroit.
Yes, great time for Detroit.
Major financial issues. This is really a nice influx of activity for them.
They've had major financial issues for decades now
right.
in Detroit. So,
well, they were promised by the guy that built the stadium that they were going to do some stuff around the stadium. Mm-hmm. And from what I heard, they didn't do jack.
Yeah.
But he got his money.
The site was incredible. So on Wednesday afternoon, we did a Q&A with Roger Goodell. So that was really awesome to kind of hear him talk. And it was more of a very intimate space with some international fans. So that was really cool. He actually came in and surprised our International Fan of the Year and told him he's the NFL International Fan of the Year. So that was really cool. We did the red carpet
on Thursday.
Yeah.
That's why you didn't go, Spags. That's why they didn't choose you.
They didn't choose me.
So what was your role there? What were you doing with all the events going on?
So I was in charge of the Cowboys inner circle. So all those fans that you saw on TV, I helped manage that group, as well as I was kind of covering.
They were
well
behaved. They were well behaved.
They were well behaved.
Did you dress them? Did you dress them?
You know, I did bring some stuff out for these guys.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I had to bring them a couple little things in case they forgot. But great group. I also was covering some of the media portion of it. So we did the red carpet. We had our international fan of the year. He walked the red carpet.
Did you have to dress up?
I did.
All right.
I did dress up. It was great. But it was awesome seeing all of the prospects there in person. These guys were just so excited. They were so dressed up. I mean, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, all the guys walking out with their families, significant others. It was great.
Yeah.
Were there any of them that you were particularly more impressed with than others?
Not necessarily.
That you came away saying, oh, okay, yeah, that guy.
Not necessarily.
From interviews or dress, Bill.
Or just however.
They all were dressed to the nines.
Yeah.
Yes, so it was great. I did, however, I wanted to speak to our guy, Darius Robinson. So I pulled him for an interview. I asked him about Missouri and his time there and, you know, all the fans following him to the NFL. And he was very thankful.
And he's from Detroit.
He's from Detroit.
Wow.
So
okay.
It was really great talking to him.
They
he
were
was
two
so nice.
Picks away from taking him.
Mm. Exactly. So when
could have taken him if you didn't trade down. You could. He was on the board for him at 24.
I know. Yeah. I know.
We were on the watch on the floor for the inner circle. We were like, oh, he's still up there. Like he's still on the board. Mm-hmm. So we were preparing in case that were to happen. But excited for him. He went to the Cardinals, and from there it was just an immense amount of craziness. All the fans. All the chaos. I got to sit on set with NFL Network for a couple of days and watch their show for a few hours. So that was really cool.
And you saw how unprofessional we are.
Hey, you have some tips from that weekend, and just feel free to help us out.
We can will do.
Improve our status here.
Will do. We'll I'm going to put a list together, and we'll work on it, you guys.
Yeah, please do. Please do.
It was great.
Feel free to interrupt whenever we do something wrong. You know.
Will do.
Like they do it all right.
So since I was obviously there, tell me about the chaos here after Thursday night, round one. We get Tyler Guyton.
Mm-hmm.
What trickled from there?
Congratulations, by the way, Bill.
Oh, because he's an Oklahoma Sooner?
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Of course.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if Bill's going to celebrate that or not. So let's dive in.
He's
right
6 feet, 8 inches tall.
Every bit of it.
You can't coach length.
When people talk about too tall, you know, back at Tennessee State when they named Ed Jones too tall, it wasn't just a joke. I mean, he's one of the tallest to ever play, right?
Hopefully this guy's not too tall to play tackle.
Sounds like Mickey has some concerns.
All righty then. Right off the bat there, sir.
Well, it's your first pick, and the first thing you're saying is you're going to move from right tackle to left tackle. And it doesn't sound like he's played much left tackle.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a to be determined on how well he makes the switch. But if he needs incentive, the guy that might have the most influence on him is his father. Dad looks like he could still play, by the way.
His dad played high school basketball at Austin LBJ High School, right. Talking with him. Remember Ray Jackson with the Fab Five, University of Michigan?
Course,
He was a high school teammate of his at Austin LBJ.
Oh, okay.
His dad was.
And then he played football at Midwestern State
in Wichita Falls.
And he looks like he can still play, by the way.
And he is the most rabid Cowboys fan.
Oh,
shout out to him. He's probably listening right now.
Hey, Dad.
And not only.
What up, Pops?
And not only.
He actually came up to me and said, it's an honor to meet you.
Oh, shut up.
Well, that's his first demerit.
I'm not one of those Joneses. You don't have to talk to me like that.
Not only is he a no-nonsense father, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
So if the young man needs any incentive or anybody to kind of ride him roughshod, On top of it, he's the Cowboys fan, too. So he's got a vested interest in what this kid does going forward. And if he gets out of line, I wouldn't want to have to answer to his dad. Let's just put it that way. Great family, by the way.
Yeah, great family. They were here, and they made the big tour and went on the private jet, picked them up down in Manor, Texas. Manor's located just to the northeast, about 15 miles from downtown Austin.
I hope it was a tall jet. Jeez. you don't want to be too
You know, that's the thing. You talk about length, and that's one of the big things. Length can offset some of the inexperience that he might have coming in here.
Because he hasn't played a lot of football.
That's right. I mean, he came to – for his story, you go back to Maynard. He actually transferred in to Maynard because Jamal Shedd, basketball player at University of Houston, is going to be a first-round draft pick in the NBA. He played at Maynard. And so he transferred there to play basketball. And then it sounds like maybe didn't make the varsity. I'm not sure because I asked him how far they went in the playoffs. And he said, well, I wasn't that good at basketball. So he started playing football. Actually, someone, one of the coaches saw him in the hallway at the school and said, you need to come play football. He had a growth spurt like when he was 15 years old and got much taller. And he played defensive line his senior year at Maynard. And then Gary Patterson and TCU, they were in Patterson had a history of this, being able to project a small school, smaller schools, class 5A, Maynard, and that this guy can play offensive line. And so the only D1 scholarship offer they had was TCU. He went there and for 2 years was a backup. Scored a touchdown as an H-back in a game.
And everybody was giving him credit for being a tight end.
Right, right. But he wasn't a tight end.
And he said, I didn't play tight end.
Then they had a coaching change, and so he transferred to Oklahoma.
And besides what he's done on the field, here's two things I think you need to know about him. When he got here, they went to the Cowboys warehouse, pro shop north in Frisco, and that's where they were making the jerseys, the number 60 with his name on, which his whole family was wearing. And I guess there was a line up of people for him to walk through and applaud and everything. When he got the jersey and everybody, he was coming back and everybody was milling around, he went up and shook everybody's hand, like went out of his way to thank them for what they do. Then he comes here and, you know, did all the stuff he needed to do, the press conference and whatever. The draft party was going out on out on the plaza. I was out there doing a live TV shot. And next thing I looked, and he and his buddies and his brothers are out on the plaza, and he's taking pictures, like group pictures with everybody. And I'm going, okay, if that part of it means anything – it sounds like they got a pretty good guy, and maybe for a change we get to talk to the starting left tackle.
We'd love that.
If that means anything. Because if you think about it, Flozell Adams didn't like talking to the media, and we know Tyron's history of just grunting when people ask him a question.
Just because that was his personality.
Yeah, yeah.
He was a quiet guy.
Don't forget, I have him stepping out of his element, the video of him dancing on the sand, on the beach.
Where? Tyron?
Yeah.
At what?
He was having a good time.
Have you shared that with us?
I sure have. You guys forgot about it.
At a Pro Bowl?
No. We were having one of those cowboy travel things.
Oh, yeah, okay.
He was getting out there. You should see him. He's got some hips. He can move. I'll show it to you one of these days.
I do like the chemistry, him alongside Tyler Smith on the left side of the offensive line.
Right.
Two guys that are similar ages. Let's see. Tyler Smith turned 23 April 3rd, and Guyton is just 2 months younger than him. He turns 23 on June 11th.
So did we go with the best athlete? So is that what we went with?
Let's do this. At 24, if they don't trade down and get a third and get another potential starting player at center with Cooper Beebe, at 24, if they hadn't traded down, what would you have done?
Would have drafted Graham Barton.
Okay.
I'm with you.
So basically, basically what they did is traded Graham Barton for Tyler Guyton and Cooper Beebe.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I think, how we have to judge the finality of how this turns out.
The other thing to consider on Tyler Guyton, and I think what probably happened when they decided they got the offer from Detroit to move down five spots, they had a handful of players that they were comfortable with taking that fit their needs. And I think if you just look at the list of the guys that went off the board right after that, from Graham Barton to Jordan Morgan to Darius Robinson, there's three of the handful, and now you're down to
the last one.
Maybe the last one in Tyler Guyton, and they were high fives all around when he was still there. The other thing I think you need to look at, the next offensive tackle after that that was drafted was Patrick Paul at 55, one pick before the Cowboys' second-round pick at 56. And then there were a whole bunch of tackles that went off the board after that. So in the Cowboys' estimation, there was a drop-off between Tyler Guyton and the next offensive lineman, and apparently the rest of the league. And keep in mind, he was the seventh offensive tackle drafted in the first round of this draft. Wow. There were already six of them that went off the board before the Cowboys. So he was in that it was the last of that bunch. It's very similar to Tyler Smith. When they drafted Tyler Smith, they had I think they had a higher grade on Tyler Smith than they did Guyton, because they said they had a first-round grade on Smith 2 years ago. But he, again, in that draft, which wasn't as deep as far as offensive linemen or offensive tackle types are concerned, there was a more severe drop-off. I don't think that was that great a drop-off between Guyton and those tackles that went off late in the second round. They could have waited on it, as it turned out. But you don't know that until after the fact. And so they felt like they needed to, at a premium position, elite position, left tackle, they needed to pull the trigger on Guyton.
So there was 20, from 29 to 55, that was the next tackle. So 26 picks in between the tackle. So he was the last one taken in the first round.
And then after that, after the Cowboys picked at 56, Houston took a left tackle, a Blake Fisher from Notre Dame. Roger Rosengarten from Washington went at 62 to Baltimore. Kingsley Suamataya went to Kansas City at 63. And then Brandon Coleman to Washington at 67. Caden Wallace to New England at 68. There was a whole bunch of tackles that went right after that second round pick.
So are we looking at him as a left tackle, or did the BB sign give us – is it BB?
Yeah, Cooper Beebe.
Cooper Beebe. Did that sign give us the versatility that we needed regards to him being able to play different positions? I'm talking about Cooper. And therefore taking the pressure off of Tyler to necessarily go to left tackle, because
Beebe was, as far as Guyton's position, Beebe was unrelated to that. The question on Guyton is, will he play right tackle or left tackle? Since Steele's at right tackle, Guyton is your left tackle.
Okay, so left
tackle.
If he plays right tackle.
No, he's not.
He's not going to play right tackle.
No, Steele's not a left tackle.
Okay, well then he's gonna have to start working on it right now. He's going to have the mentality that I've always had. Everyone acts like it's impossible for a right tackle to play left tackle.
He feels like his better position is left tackle. Now, the Cowboys will quickly point out that Oklahoma had a left-handed quarterback in Dylan Gabriel, and they say that's why he was playing right tackle at OU, because he was the blindside protector for Dylan Gabriel.
Mm-hmm. And I will add that he had over 1,000 snaps at right tackle and only 70 at left tackle. Right. So that's my thing.
He's going to have to get to work, but, you know, everyone acts like it's so difficult to do, which I never agreed with.
Did you hear?
Don't repeat it.
What?
I used
the
it
coach,
in my
the coach had a very
I used it in my column.
Why don't you want to say it?
He said it. It got transcribed.
You can find it somewhere.
Okay.
I think it was Josh Sitton.
But he spoke on
offensive guard for the Packers. Had a very descriptive way of saying what the difference is playing right tackle and left tackle.
And it had to do with a bodily function, doing it with your right hand or your left hand.
I'll have to look that up.
Well, we're going to take a break here in a minute or two. but the key thing of this whole deal is
which tells me that it's very difficult to make that switch.
Well, it would be for
must
me.
Must be amazing then.
I had a hard time going to my left in basketball. Okay, let's
just that's about
that
the only time. Yeah, I'm with you. Let's go.
Now, James Harden can go to his right and still shoot with his left.
Yes, but, he can. Yeah. See?
So what do you think would have taken place if they played the percentages, right? They moved down five picks. They had four guys they were willing to take. What if all four were there? What do you think?
I think that would have been very interesting. I think they would have tried to trade down again.
I think you're right. Uh-huh. Because Kansas City wanted to trade. Mm-hmm. Kansas City wanted to come up to 29. Mm-hmm. Also, Carolina was trying to come up back into the first round.
Mm-hmm.
I think they would have traded down again and might have got that fourth round pick.
Mm. Yeah, that's right.
Because I thought in order they would have taken Barton.
But I think I also think Kansas City was trying to trade up even when they were at 24. They valued Xavier Worthy that much.
Nice.
That they were willing to come up to 24. Mm-hmm. And I bet you, and we did this little mock draft, Kyle Yeomans and I on the Blitz, where we did a scenario where Kansas City traded up and gave up their third and fourth round pick, mm-hmm. 95 and 131. And I bet you Kansas City probably offered that. But the Cowboys did not want to take that because mm-hmm. they didn't want to go down to 32 because they thought they might miss out on their guy.
Gotcha.
That's why the Detroit pick was more appealing to them, even though they were only offering one draft pick, although it was a much higher third-round pick than
ninth
what Kansas
pick in
City.
The third round.
Nice. You have 73 rather than 95. But the main thing is they did not want to miss on one of those four players.
I got to say, unless someone can show me better, I am confused on the second-round pick.
Okay, when we come back here on Mix Shots, we discuss the second round pick, Marshawn Nyland out of Western Michigan. Mix Shots continues in a moment.
I'm Dak Prescott, quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys.
And they snap it to Prescott, who looks right. It's not there. He escapes left. He'll run for a first down.
Just like football, when it comes to crypto, it's important to have a team you can trust. With blockchain.com, I know I'm in good hands. Since 2011, they've been trusted by millions around the world to buy, sell, and trade cryptocurrency.
Prescott's going to run this himself. Run it up the middle, and he scores.
Whether you're new to crypto or an active trader, they've got you covered. What are you waiting for? Get started at blockchain.com.
We know that juicy, cheesy, grilled-to-perfection burger sounds amazing, but it does sound like something is missing. Pepsi, baby! The yin to this burger's yang. Burgers and Pepsi go together like... well, like burgers and Pepsi. This perfect blending of flavors makes every bite of lettuce, every sesame seed on the bun, and every sip of that crisp, refreshing, ice-cold cola a journey to Foodtopia. Burgers, better with Pepsi. That's what I like.
The Medal of Honor is our country's highest military award for valor in combat. More than 40 million individuals have served in the armed forces since the Civil War. Fewer than 4,000 have received the Medal of Honor. The National Medal of Honor Museum will be a place to preserve these legacies and inspire America. It's being built right next door to the Dallas Cowboys in Texas. Help us honor our country's greatest heroes. Learn more and get involved at mohmuseum.org.
Did you know that responding to one spam call can lead to more? Or that the IRS would never ask for your Social Security number on the phone? Beat scammers at their own game by subscribing to AARP Fraud Watch Network alerts and texts. At aarp.org/beatscammerstx, you can sign up to receive information that helps you recognize and avoid the latest scams. That's aarp.org/beatscammerstx.
To Mixed Shots.
Kenny Chesney is bringing his Sun Goes Down Tour 2024 with Zach Brown Band and special guests Megan Maroney and Uncle Cracker to AT&T Stadium on May 11th. Tickets are on sale now at SeatGeek.com, the official ticketing partner of AT&T Stadium.
Uncle Cracker?
Uncle Cracker.
Correct.
Is that with a K or a C?
With a K.
Okay.
Good.
Okay. We're ready to.
I don't know who that is.
With a K.
Yeah, I don't know which one's better.
We ready to discuss the second round pick?
Yes.
Marshawn Nealon. Everson posed the question just a moment ago. Mm-hmm. What was your question, Everson?
Well, my question is, if I'm a quarterback and I'm being judged on something, most likely it's going to be touchdown passes, right?
I'm going to be judging on sacks.
There you go. So tell me why I'm wrong. Well, my thing is he only has like 3.5 sacks.
Oh, okay.
Spags is with me. He's with me.
I knew where he was going.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So, I mean, that's my thing. If you got a guy that I don't know. I didn't necessarily
it's a
see
good it. Thing you aren't the defensive line coach.
You're right.
Because Micah Parsons wouldn't be doing everything he should be doing as a defensive end.
Mm-hmm.
He'd be hunting sacks.
Mm-hmm.
If you watch the highlights of this guy, he's a DeMarcus Lawrence starter.
That's what I saw. That's what I saw. That's what I saw. That's the best thing I saw about him.
That's the, and to me, that was the most important thing. Mm-hmm. He plays the run.
Right.
And he can move inside if they need him to in the nickel. But the thing that impressed me from his highlights was the fact that he was willing and able to play the run. And one of, I think, Mike Zimmer's priority is we got to do a better job against the run.
Mm-hmm. No
and
doubt about
so
that.
So I think that might have taken precedence over there because who's the other defensive end that would play there? Say Parsons is a linebacker, mm-hmm. and DeMarcus Lawrence is on the left side.
We lost everybody.
Sam Williams.
On the right side, Sam Williams.
We lost almost everybody.
What is his weakness? Mm-hmm. Playing the run. So to me, they were looking for somebody to help the run defense that certainly showed up in almost every game they lost. And I think that's what the priority became.
Okay, so who was playing that role last year?
Parsons.
Somewhat
right defensive end.
Somewhat
basically.
Dorrance
Armstrong.
Yeah.
Who's 7.5
a Washington sacks. Commander.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so
have
they upgraded at that position Marshawn Nealon, understanding he's a rookie coming in.
Yeah.
We haven't seen him yet, and he's played at Western Michigan.
Excellent athlete.
Mm-hmm.
This guy he ran at the 200 meters. In the 400.
Well, and one of the things I look at.
110 hurdles. What the hell did he not do in high school?
And he's got length, 34.5-inch arms.
Right.
And one of the, it's interesting. The cone drill, especially for defensive linemen and getting to the quarterback, is an important measurement of your quickness.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a 7.02 cone drill, which is really good amongst this class. We've talked about in the weeks leading up to the draft how agents have been telling the players don't even do the cone drill because it's such an important measurement that the NFL teams use. And if you have a bad cone drill, it might drop you around in the draft.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, he's got a pretty good one right there. Probably one of the best in this class. That's right.
Yeah.
He probably raised him from the third round of the second round.
And I'm just a little nervous. That's all. That's why I've come to you guys with my concerns because I love the drills. They're all fun, mm-hmm. right? It's exciting to watch. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't equate to playing ball.
So the other thing, though, in at Western Michigan, and that level of college football, the spread offenses, they're getting the ball out so quick.
Mm-hmm.
It is very, and it's a trickle up to Division I football. I mean, the FBS schools are doing the same thing. Power mm-hmm. Five schools now. Mm-hmm. It is hard to get sacks now because quarterbacks are getting rid of the football so quickly. And so that's where I'm not as concerned about 4.5 sacks in 10 games as last year at Western Michigan. You would like better numbers than that. But when you see him on film and you see how he measured, motor that he plays with, I don't think it's going to be an issue.
The other guy they kind of compared him with was Greg Ellis,
mm-hmm.
who, by the way,
who's coaching
the defensive end coach right now.
I could see a lot of Greg in him as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I'm jealous of his 110 hurdles. Uh-huh. I only got a 17-1. This fool's running a 15-8. God dang, man.
Was that in high school?
Yes. That's crazy. He did all this and all this track stuff he's
pretty
doing.
Pretty good athlete.
He's got to be an amazing athlete from what I saw. But once again, you know, and who else I kind of thought of was a little bit of Rayfield Wright as well, just in regards to his athleticism. But I know we're talking about two different sides of the ball.
Right. So can we go to my favorite
pick? That's my concern.
Let's go. Well,
we're good. We're good.
Cooper Beebe.
Mm-hmm.
Why is he your favorite pick, Mickey?
Well,
because he has video on him.
I was watching highlights of the guy, and this has got to be the most no-nonsense offensive lineman I think I've seen. Now, we can start with
more no-nonsense than Larry Allen?
Close.
Okay.
6'3", 322.
Hey, we got some film of him.
And
there.
We got some film
number
of him.
Number 50
He's
there.
Number 50. And a lot of what the highlights they show are pass blocking. But if you see what he does as a run blocker, and I don't think we have this. Yeah. There's a highlight where he's run blocking.
Is he 50 or 54?
50. Now.
50 this okay. time.
Ooh.
See, one guy to the next.
Mm-hmm.
And these are all pass blocks.
Yeah.
We found on somewhere online when he was run blocking.
There he's doing a little bit of run blocking.
He was on the first level. He blocked the guy.
Mm-hmm.
He went to the second level to his left. And I think it might have been a safety. Somebody was just kind of getting in his way, and he was blocking him and blocking him. And it was almost like he said, get the hell out of here, and threw the guy on the ground. Just threw him on the ground like I was in front of him.
No nonsense.
So I like the fact that not only that, to play center, you got to be pretty sharp, right? He was a finalist for the academic
the Campbell
Heisman,
Trophy.
The Campbell Trophy. The academic Heisman.
The same stuff.
And I think he can't wait. And they also, he said he likes to dirt guys. And everybody said, what are you talking about? He goes, I like to put them in the dirt.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, I'm good with that.
I could have told you that's what that meant.
I know. I don't think I ever heard the phrase.
Yeah, to put it that
I'm
way.
I'm going
to
dirt you. Okay. Well, start dirting, dude.
And I like the fact that he might play center, right? I mean, how are we looking at him?
He's going to transition there. Now, as Mike McCarthy said, you know, Brock Hoffman going to bring his lunch pail every day.
Better.
And
he better
be ready for the competition
because
Hoffman's not going to just concede it. Mm-hmm. But again, you've got a guy that can play guard center.
Oh, no, the versatility is
really
amazing.
Good.
Yeah.
Right.
Very needed.
So that's the guy, I think, that makes the Guyton pick better because they got a third round. Sort of like when they judged the Travis Frederick trade down, when they drafted him, they went from 18 to 31.
Yeah.
And everybody said, well, he was a second-round pick. Well, he was three picks from the second round, okay? And they picked up Terrence Williams, a starting wide receiver. So I think it's very similar to that.
Do you want to move on to the second, third-round pick?
That's my
dissertation.
Please.
Marist Lufau, linebacker, Notre Dame.
Lufau.
It's Lufau.
Well, that's not the way they put it on my little thing.
You know what?
Lufau.
Our Cowboys TV people asked him, how do you pronounce your name? And he said Lufau.
Lufau.
Marist Lufau.
Even though...
I think Mike Zimmer's excited about him.
I think he's real excited about him.
Hmm.
Linebacker?
Yeah.
Which they needed.
Which we need.
Yes.
Right?
Very happy with that pick.
He's more of a strong side guy, you think?
Well, he was used not only off the ball and as a three-down linebacker at Notre Dame, but also came off the edge rushing the passer
that
as well.
That was the other thing.
And he has that ability to get to the quarterback quickly. I think he'd be a Sam linebacker to start off with, but he can we got Eric Kendricks here who's familiar with Zimmer's system, who's 31, 32 years old, who's your one of your inside linebackers or middle linebacker this year. And I think – he's going to be mentoring Marist Lufau.
And Lufau, I liked his he's not Michael Parsons in regards to how he closes, but it was similar. And that's what you want, someone that can, you know, eliminate that distance between himself and the guy carrying
the ball. And a lot of times when you're playing in a 4-3, the strong side linebacker's lining up on the line of scrimmage.
On the tight end.
So you can blitz from there. And that was one of his strengths that they were talking about with this guy. Mm-hmm. So, and then not only that, you get a linebacker, again, that can play special teams. And with the new kickoff rule, you need linebackers on the coverage team.
All right.
He's a high-energy guy, they said.
Yeah. All right. Kendricks was drafted by Mike Zimmer in Miami. I'm in Minnesota, okay. 6 foot, 232 pounds out of UCLA. Marist Lufau is 6'2", 234 pounds out of Notre Dame, okay. Kendricks ran a 4.61, Lufau a 4.64. That cone drill I speak of, yes. Kendricks had a 7.14, Lufau had a 7.16. It's almost identical, these measurables. I think Zimmer probably sees some Eric Kendricks in Marist Lufau. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it.
All right, that's a good one.
And he and the fifth-round pick, Kalen Carson, both talked about playing special teams. That Carson said he played all four special teams. I think Lufau said he played special teams. And you're going to need linebackers to play special teams on kickoff coverage.
Here's producer supreme, Chris Beam, just pointed out something that I need to also point out. The difference, one of the differences, Lufau and Kendricks. Lufau's got 34-inch arms. Kendricks, 31-inch arms. Mm-hmm. When you have 31-inch arms, you're an inside player. When you have 34-inch arms, you can play on the outside. Mm-hmm. You can play that Sam linebacker. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
So thank you very much, Producer Supreme. I appreciate that.
And if you think about it, after Lufau, they had to wait from 87 to 174 to make the next pick.
Right.
So it was a long wait.
It was, and they took cornerback Kalen Carson of Wake Forest. And if you aren't familiar with the third-day picks, Kalen Carson, cornerback Wake Forest, fifth round, number 174. Wide receiver Ryan Flournoy, Southeast Missouri State, sixth round, number 216. And then they went big in the seventh round with Nate Thomas, the tackle out of Louisiana Lafayette, and Justin Rogers, defensive tackle from Auburn, both of whom are 320 to 330 pounds.
Mm-hmm. So Thomas... 332.
6'5", 332.
And they're going to move him to guard. And then Rogers, 6'2". It says 322.
I think it's 332.
It should be 332 because I saw one thing, he was 338, and then I saw one thing, he was 360-something. So anyway, it's a big dude that started at
Kentucky. He's your one technique.
Yeah. Started at Kentucky and made his way to Auburn for his final year. And all I can think of, they can only hope he turns out to be Jay Ratliff.
Being a seventh rounder from Auburn.
Right.
But he's a different type player than even
though. He's a little bit bigger than Ratliff.
Yeah, Ratliff is a smaller nose tackle
type. But he played
big.
If his motor was as good as Ratliff's, they got themselves maybe somebody there that they can sink their teeth into.
Hmm.
I like the Kalen Carson pick because he was actually projected to be a third rounder according to the NFL. But I think that was almost a good move for us considering Stephon Gilmore is still a free agent.
Mm-hmm.
And you add a little bit more depth to that position as far as Bland,
right.
Diggs coming back off of an injury, you know, Jordan Lewis, these guys.
His footwork was good. He didn't know how to catch that well. But, you know, when you're in position as much as I saw him in position, mm-hmm. you know, picks are easy to make because he breaks well. He closes that distance very quickly. And his footwork is amazing. So all he needs is confidence. You know, a lot of times you can be really good at something in college, but you don't think you can transfer well into the pros. But no, I think he will. And he kind of reminds me of Gilmore.
The other thing I noticed was he's not shy to make a tackle.
Oh, no. He's very aggressive.
Physical.
He's very aggressive.
And I think
his press technique is also very good.
Some thought that he could help on the nickel and play outside, with the three guys we talked about, mm-hmm. who's the fourth?
Right.
And who's the backup nickel? Because mm-hmm. they really don't have. Now, we got to see what Eric Scott is.
Right.
They got to give him a chance. And he's one of those guys that they spent, a fifth-round pick on Scott to trade up to get him?
Mm-hmm.
At the first pick in the sixth. So between those two guys, they got to step up and be able to add some depth so they don't get into the situation like they did in the playoff game when Gilmore goes out there with a harness on his shoulder that needed to be operated on 3 or 4 days later because they really didn't have anybody else they trusted to put out there.
Mm-hmm.
So they need both of those guys to step up and be players.
When you look at it, it didn't make a difference. They should have just put the backup out there. And when you think about how he played, it was tough.
Well, it wasn't him. It was just the rest of them didn't know how to play zone.
Right. Well, he was out of position as well a few times. So I think that it messed with his technique. I really do. I think it messed with his whole train of thought.
Okay. We got much more to get to. Where does this leave this team after the draft?
And I think we need to take a deeper dive into that running back position.
Okay, that's to come here on Mix Shots.
The Medal of Honor is our country's highest military award for valor in combat. More than 40 million individuals have served in the armed forces since the Civil War. Fewer than 4,000 have received the Medal of Honor. The National Medal of Honor Museum will be a place to preserve these legacies and inspire America. It's being built right next door to the Dallas Cowboys in Texas. Help us honor our country's greatest heroes. Learn more and get involved at mohmuseum.org.
Cowboys football and Miller Lite. What a pairing. Can cracks a kickoff. Tailgates going way past postgame. Sunday night overtimes followed by Monday morning swagger. Brisket in the smoker. Miller Lite and the cool. America's team playing America's greatest sport. Miller Lite, the only beer of the Dallas Cowboys. Dallas Cowboys football tastes like Miller time. Celebrate responsibly. 2023 Miller Brewing Company, Fort Worth, Texas.
Did you know that responding to one spam call can lead to more? Or that the IRS would never ask for your Social Security number on the phone? Beat scammers at their own game by subscribing to AARP Fraud Watch Network alerts and texts. At aarp.org/beatscammerstx, you can sign up to receive information that helps you recognize and avoid the latest scams. That's aarp.org/beatscammerstx.
You know that sound anywhere. It's the crisp crunch of that first nacho chip. With its perfect cheese to sour cream ratio sitting atop a layer of delicious beans, it's a sip away from perfection. That's what we're looking for. Add a delicious, refreshing Pepsi and we've achieved absolute nacho nirvana. Because while you can pile those nachos high with every spicy, cheesy, savory topping, there's no topping a cool Pepsi finish. Nachos, better with Pepsi. That's what I like.
Back to Mixed Shots.
The 2024 PBR World Finals are taking over AT&T Stadium. It all starts on May 17th with Kid Rock's Rock and Rodeo. Then on May 18th and 19th, the finalists compete in the 2024 PBR Championship. Let's rock and ride. 3-day tickets are on sale now at SeatGeek.com, the official ticketing partner of AT&T Stadium.
Okay, we continue with Mix Shots, and Mickey wants to dive further into the Ezekiel Elliott-led Dallas Cowboys running back room.
Well, let's just talk about the running back room before Zeke shows up or will show up. Rico Dowdle, Hunter Lipke, Deuce Vaughn, Malik Davis, Snoop Connor, and Royce Freeman. Those other guys not named Freeman have totaled 605 total NFL rushing yards. Freeman has 1,792. He's 28. He's a on his seventh year in the league.
Mm-hmm. He's maybe had his one seventh team too.
Maybe.
He's had just one. He only had one start in his career, so it's not like he's a starting quality running back. He's a nice rotation guy if he can make the team now, and that's key.
He may wind up being Ronald Jones now.
I was going to say because they only signed him to a 1 year veteran exception salary, and he only counts $1.134 million against the cap. $65,500 guaranteed. So if you're following the money, that's a drop in the bucket if he doesn't mm-hmm. make the team.
Yeah.
So they
and that was like Ronald Jones last year.
Right, and they cut him, right? Did he even make it out of training camp?
Remember he had a suspension to start the year.
Oh, that's right.
A one-game suspension, I think. And
he got
so he did not make it out of training camp, basically.
He got arrested for possession of marijuana.
Okay.
I didn't think anybody got arrested for that anymore.
Only in Texas.
Just like nobody in college is ever any more academically ineligible. That doesn't happen.
Sounds like a rant is about to happen.
A mix shot.
We've totally devalued the scholarship. That's all I've got to say. And they did not.
Why are they paying these college players?
Yeah. And if you leave, you ought to pay your money back, too, by the way. So we talked about the kind of running back desert there was when the Cowboys would have taken somebody they kind of liked, maybe Trey Benson, Florida State, till when they got back on the clock in the fifth round. But that's not why they signed Zeke. They mm-hmm. were planning on kind of doing it beforehand, just like when they traded down in the first round. When I interviewed Jerry for the draft party out on the plaza. It was at 4:30, and I said, "Well, you know, since 1989, you've made 71 draft day trades." I said, "What are the chances in the first round you're moving down?" He goes, "Oh, 80%." So no surprise.
I love it
that they traded down. But he talked up Zeke on Friday. After that, the second day of picks, saying that he said Zeke still has starting qualities about him.
Yes, he does.
So we'll see. Mm-hmm. But if I think we were all in agreement last year, they should have signed him.
They should have signed him.
And they basically
the main problem that Zeke had here in the perception of fans, I think, in media, is how much money he made.
Yeah,
right.
That's all they talked about.
At an economical price, you know.
For $3 million. The fans act like it's their money.
Basically, they signed him 1 year, a max of three, $2 million guaranteed. So it's not like they're paying him a lot. They're just accounting for the rest of his other contract, which is $6 million in dead money. Mm-hmm. They're not paying him that. They've already given that money. They have to account for it.
He was worth every penny when he was here. I'm sorry. I don't care what they say.
And I remember Bill saying this last year, and everybody was making such a big deal of him only averaging 3.8 yards a carry his last year in 2022.
Mm-hmm.
Well, before Terrence Steele got hurt, tore his ACL, and let's remember they had a rookie starting at left tackle, Tyler Smith. Tyron Smith didn't get back until after Steele tore his ACL. In 2022, I looked it up, before Steele got hurt, he had averaged at least 4.1 yards a game or more, okay?
A carry,
mm-hmm. Prior to the injury to Steele, he had carried the ball 172 times for 746 yards in 11 games and was averaging 4.3. After Steele got hurt, he averaged 3.6, 3.4, 1.9, 1.3. And those last two games at the end of the year I think Pollard was doing most of the work at that. So I think everybody got carried away with the 3.8. And just look at what he provides inside the 10, inside the 5, right?
Blitz pickup.
And the blitz pickup. Yeah.
And how many yards carry did Tony Pollard average this year for the Cowboys?
It ended up being 4?
4.0.
And the team averaged,
that's,
I think,
always
4.0.
A magic number in regards to the media's eyes.
Right.
But what I just, and I'm just glad he's back, I got to say. I'm glad he's back. And when you start looking at narratives in regards to the press and the media and all of that, I don't know. I hope Jerry wasn't listening to that.
Well, obviously he wasn't.
Yeah. I'm glad he brought him back. I am.
And the other thing that stands out in my mind was it the Miami game when they fumbled at the one after Pollard had a chance from the one to score? And instead of powering through on the left tackle, that he tried to bounce it outside.
That was his boy.
My boy, what are you talking about?
Bill always brought that. That's what you're saying.
When they lift up,
well, yeah.
Lipke.
Because he didn't think. He didn't think.
Turned his head. Yeah.
He didn't think he was getting the ball. I swear to God, he didn't think
ball?
He was getting the ball.
No idea.
Because even
That's what he said. Oh,
okay.
I have it.
That was
what?
For me.
All right, I have a question.
Go.
How do the Cowboys look as far as weapons on offense right now?
I first of all, with this Zeke coming back home to the Cowboys, let's go back to his connection with Dak Prescott. That is a vital, vital thing to have on this offense, and that's something that I think is underrated. And so them kind of having that moment to reunite and play again this season – I think that's pretty key as far as our offense is looking.
I don't think he's the magic pill, but you would have to think that last year, going on what you said, especially I'm trying to give Dak some leeway here, you would hope that he would play better with Zeke sitting there in the huddle next to him as opposed to these guys that, of course, he loves his teammates. But when you got Zeke there, you might feel a little bit more secure in that pocket.
Exactly.
When the blitzes are coming. Maybe you could talk to him on the sidelines. And, you know,
They were the duo. They really were.
They were the duo.
So, New England last year, he rushed for 642 yards. He had 51 catches for 313. And I think Bill brought this up last time. 955 total yards from scrimmage, playing 51% of the snaps.
With that team.
With that team.
With that
team. That offensive line.
Oh, my God.
And no quarterback,
basically. Oh, my God.
Right?
On a 4-13 team.
Man.
So
that's work, man. That's putting in work. That's a professional.
It's not like he fell off the ledge, right?
So, by the way, the last game they played, I went back and looked this morning at it. They played the Jets. It was in a driving snowstorm.
Yeah, man. He's out there.
And these stats count.
Yes. He was, you know.
There wasn't anybody that could run and do anything in that game.
Sometimes.
You know damn well he was the whole AT&T Stadium. Oh, my God. I wish I could go back there.
Sometimes you got to look inside the box instead of just trying to put a ribbon on it in a bowl.
Well, one thing that before we – I don't know how long we are, but here's what I have to say about this draft. We went for what we wanted. We went for the trenches, right? We went for more physical players. You know, as much as I talk about even the wide receiver of Florida, he's a good run, he's a good blocker on you know in the secondary. So I look for the Cowboys to
be – He replaces Noah Brown.
That's it. That's it.
A physical wide receiver.
That's it. I don't know if he can do that.
Go ahead.
Well, all I was saying was I was always worried about us in the trenches. And to me, I think they addressed a lot of that during this draft. I didn't want it to look pretty. I don't need a whole bunch of players. We have CeeDee Lamb. We have Brandon Cooks. You know, we've got some good – we got Ferguson. We've got some good tight ends. We've got – enough to me, as far as our specialist positions are, to do well. I think we need to be a tougher team, and I think it starts in the trenches. We did it with drafting a linebacker, and we did it with drafting two offensive linemen. That should really make us make the culture around here back to what it used to be, especially offensively. Be able to run the ball against anybody, and when it comes down to playoff football, We're not up here. We're not trying to be fancy. We're not trying to be big play guys. We're going to grind and pound you to the ground. That's what I want this team to be.
And guess who's the happiest of this with this draft and what they did? Nate and Frisco.
Oh, see that?
No doubt about it.
Nate had been saying, I want two offensive linemen. And he got three.
He got three.
But two of significance. Do what? Got one? Maybe?
I wanted a wide receiver.
You wanted a wide receiver?
I wanted my wide receiver in the first round, which is Keon Coleman.
He went with
I don't think there's – and it's not about just this year. It's – for the next 4 years. So Brandon Cooks doesn't figure in the equation next year or the year after, basically.
Right.
And you're sitting here.
Well, that would be unusual because he's never not fit in.
Yeah. No, but I mean, he's 31 years old, and, you know, how long do they last? And I feel like even right now, I mean, there's a reason that you gave Michael Gallup this big contract a couple of years ago.
And gave up Amari Cooper.
Well, you replace Cooper, let's say with Cooks, a veteran guy. Where's that coming from, that second wide receiver that Gallup was supposed to be? And maybe it'll be Gallup. Maybe they'll re-sign Gallup now. I maybe have to do it after June 1st. I don't know how that works as far. But anyway.
Your guy went the first pick in the
first
second
pick
round.
Of the second round. Four picks after Guyton. And I think that – and we'll see what works out with Guyton. I don't think there's that big of a difference between Guyton and those tackles that they could have gotten in the second round. And I think that there was a bigger drop-off from the wide receivers later in the draft from what those guys, Ricky Pearsall and Xavier Leggett and Keon Coleman, went right after the Guyton pick. Xavier Worthy was in there too. And that was a sweet spot to get that weapon, that playmaker on offense that you can put alongside that really adds firepower to it. And I just liked also the Coleman, he is so smart. And he just has that there's something about him that I think he's going to be a star in Buffalo. And they're not going to miss a beat with Stephon Diggs gone with him there. All right,
stop right there because I want to add to what you said. They're one injury away the way they're set up right now.
To be in dire straits at wide receiver.
Trouble at wide receiver.
That's the other thing.
Because if one of the top two guys goes down, is Jalen Tolbert your number two receiver?
Plus, this guy is CD's cousin.
Yes.
All right.
Might have talked him to come back in.
I got a pop quiz for Everson.
Yes, sir.
Okay. We're building the perfect wide receiver. Okay. I want you, it can be a current player or a past player. First player that pops to mind when I give you these attributes.
Okay.
Building the perfect wide receiver.
Okay.
Okay. Size.
You asking me?
6'3". No, I need a player. Current player or past player who fits that description, okay?
Yes.
Size.
Current or past?
Current or past player. We're going to – everyone can participate, not just Everson. I want to see how quickly you can build the perfect wide receiver all time, okay? Size.
Dez.
Okay. Speed.
Bob Hayes.
Tyreek Hill.
Okay. Hands.
Drew Pearson.
Michael.
Okay. Route running.
Amari Cooper.
Michael.
Strength.
Seattle. Number 14.
DK.
Metcalf.
Competitor.
Michael Irvin.
Michael still.
Yeah, I got Michael on that
Michael.
One.
Michael.
Keon Coleman was asked that in an interview I saw, and I was just amazed how quickly he just routed. It was a pop quiz. Just all of a sudden, first, it showed me, and this shows the in these interviews that teams do, like formal interviews they do at the combine, you can learn very quickly about a player just how much he loves the game, how smart he is about the game.
How
whatever.
He follows it.
Yeah, exactly. And so the guy asked him, size, Calvin. I mean, it was that quick, the answer. Speed, Tyreek. Hands. He thought for a second on hands, and then he went Chris Carter, which I was like,
whoa.
Route running, Tay Adams. Strength, DK. Competitor, Randy.
And some of these
and
guys.
It was that quick on each of them. I went, whoa.
Some of these guys might have finished playing before he was born.
Yeah, exactly. That's right.
Yeah, he brought up Randy Moss. I mean, that's not bad.
So anyway, I wanted to do a little test there and say y'all did a good job with it too.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I agree.
Yeah,
Michael would I would have on competitor. Now Randy Moss is, you know, but I would have put Michael in on the competitor.
No, Michael Randy's the competitor, but
yeah.
If it wasn't there for Randy, you know, then it wasn't there. But with Michael, he was going to make it his.
Yeah.
He was going to make it his.
And you had the same answer on the speed. You had Tyreek quickly and 14 with Seattle, DK. Yeah. Yep. So,
Bob Hayes didn't count, huh?
Yeah,
I think Amari Cooper was a good answer.
Yeah, their grandfather wasn't even alive when Bob
Amari on route running, too, is good.
Yeah, Amari.
It's still good.
Open. Yeah, I don't know how he gets open. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. I went back and saw some of Dak's big plays. They had them on the internet or whatever. And just seeing how Amari Cooper, he's a genius. Not just the way he runs the route, but he puts himself in position to make a play on the ball before it's even thrown. I just thought that was amazing to me. Some of Dak's passes weren't that good at all, and somehow he maneuvered himself in between the DB, two DBs at one point, and was able to catch the ball. He doesn't let them know the ball is coming.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know it's coming. He's just running his route. They have no idea. At the last minute, boom, and he's going inside. Two guys hit each other. He's going for a touchdown. I miss that guy.
There's
subtleties
in what he does.
There you go. And that was the Drew Pearson thing as well. It's the subtleties.
Mm-hmm.
That's why a guy that run as slow as he could was able to make the plays that he made. He knew exactly what he was doing while he was running that route.
That's another category, savvy.
There you go, Bill. Yeah.
And let me point one more thing out. So during all this talk of leading up to the draft, everybody was sort of upset that the Cowboys hadn't signed CeeDee Lamb to an extension. And what I've been saying is the agents with Justin Jefferson and himself, it's like no one wants – it's cat and mouse – no one wants to be the first to sign because the other guy might sign for more. Well, guess what I found out? The two agents, the one for Justin Jefferson and the one and who's in the same boat because he's on a five-year, fifth-year option deal.
Yep.
His is 19, CD's 18. They both belong to the same agency.
Mm-hmm.
So neither guy wants to be the first to go. It's almost like they're colluding right now.
Yeah.
And Stephen,
their own agent.
During one of the interviews, pointed out it's not about just us trying to sign our guy. He goes, there's other things else going on in the league with other teams. Mm-hmm. And that was what he was talking about. Because Jamar Chase, Cincinnati, he's looking for a deal, too, before the next year he has to play on his fifth-year option. And we just saw A.J. Brown sign for an average of $32 million extension.
Mm-hmm.
So
price is going up.
I'm sure everybody's asking for 40, and then we'll see where it goes from there. I guarantee
you. So if let's say, you know, 30. What is it, 32 mil? Is that what you just said?
The A.J. Brown average.
3 years, 96
million. So if I got 31 mil, then I'm a failure.
Yeah.
That's right.
If you're
that's
an
right.
agent.
That's right.
And the other guy that just signed did 30. Somebody signed a... an extension
Devontae
before.
Just did.
Oh, Philadelphia.
Yeah.
His
so if I'm an agent, I can't light my cigar because you got 1 million less.
Right. See, and he signed he didn't need an extension, but they assigned him to an extension and it's going to average I think 25 million. Well, in about 3 years when he gets into that extension, he's going to be going, "Well, wait a minute, that guy's making 40." And it's the same thing with the quarterbacks, too. By the way,
of course it is. It's the same thing with every position.
Savvy, do you have anything you want to close out with?
You know what? Next week.
I just called you Savvy because you're Savvy Sport.
I like that.
Thank you.
Savvy Savannah.
I appreciate that. Next week, I want to dive into the NFC East and what other teams did in this draft because you know what? The Cowboys are going to have a lot of other competitors on these other teams, Jaden Daniels out there. Philly drafts three defensive players in the first three rounds. Yeah. So I want to look at what we are matched up against.
And what trade? What trade will the Cowboys make with the Commanders before next Monday? Mickey, you heard Jerry. at the press conference talking about you got new defensive coordinator here, new defensive coordinator there, and sometimes those players that they inherit, they don't fit the scheme. There's something in the mix there that could be happening where a Cowboy gets traded for a Commander. I don't know. Just, that's what he seemed to be alluding to there.
And let's not also forget. You think
number 17 is on the for the Commanders is on the blocks. McLaren, is that his name?
Oh, McLaurin? No. No. I'm thinking defensive players because you got Quinn and Zimmer with two different style defenses.
And let's not forget with all these running backs, all these running backs drafted, some guys are going to be out of a job that you recognize their names. So it's not over until it's over.
Well, we've got a recognizable name
coming here.
The 8th round draft pick, Zeke Elliott. And that does it for a draft recap edition of Mix Shots. And we will shout at you again next Monday at 11 a.m.
Go Cowboys.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys? Yeah!